We're on page 262 on the top numbers, which would be Kuf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, for those who do it that way. We are V'hine Ha'aras Hakav, is the last word is Hine. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the top, Hine. And in the English, it's sort of like in the middle of a thing. This is
same.
Now, all this is by way of extension of the vital force to animate, though, I think. It's a little bit before that. Somewhere in that. The same is also the way the kav, this is the word is in the English. First one line is itself.
Okay.
We are talking about Urus and Kalim. The idea being that Iyuv v'chayehu chad, Iyuv v'garmehu chad is the way that it starts. And the Alter Rebbe has been analyzing the way in which the creation process occurs. The last thing that he talked about is the measured amount of godliness which is enclosed, into Atzilus, even though that is still infinite because it is an expression of Kav. Kav, which is translated as, I suppose, the line of godliness, or the thread of godliness, is called the Kav V'chut, which translating Kabbalistic terms into English usually doesn't give them any credence or make any sense anyway. So the the Kav, it says, ends in Malchus of Atzilus, the bottom of Atzilus. And from there, it goes into and becomes enclosed into the lower world. That's where he's picking up now. So he ha'aras ha'kav me'ir m'sham l'sloveshes bo'ar ha'nesham the yitzir is the biyah. So it says, a reflection of the kav, which encloses itself into Malchus of Atzilus, now encloses itself into the lower world to become the neshama, the soul, the vitality of the 10 spheres of Biyah, the 10 lower worlds. So what is it that comprises and makes up the chayas of the lower end of Seder Histalshlus is the same infiniteness which was at the very beginning of the creation. Shehu Elokus, which that chayas is Elokus. And if you really want to know, that chayas, which is Elokus right down to this very physical world. But yeah, the godliness that's in this world is also, meaning in this physical world, is Elokus, mamish. It's very diminutive, it's very, very contained, it's very hidden, but the infiniteness of Hashem maintains its integrity. And when we say, so what's life? That age-old question, what is life? Life, of course, is Elokus. It's the godliness which exists in this world. Okay, and even though it's so minute compared to all the things that we're talking about, the previous 8 pages that we've been doing over here, it's still infinite. Okay, so he says, Shehu Elokus, v'ha'ara d'ha'ara mislabeshes b'nefesh ruach yisfiris d'yiyah. So what happens is a little bit now comes into Bria, and a little bit less comes into Yetzirah, and a little bit less comes, actually a lot less at this point, comes into Asiya. V'afgam b'chol ha'kelim shalehem ha'ara d'ha'ara d'ha'ara hu b'chol ha'nivrayim v'neitzirim v'nasim. So it says that he started it all out, that from Malchus of Atzilus, you have a ha'ara, a ray of the kav, of this measured amount of infiniteness, comes now into the world of Bria. A ha'ara de ha'ara, a ray of a ray, comes into Yetzirah, all the way down as far as Malchus of Yetzirah. And from Malchus of Yetzirah, the purpose of Malchus of Yetzirah is to create the world of Asiyah, the world of action. And how much godliness, how much of that original measured amount of infiniteness is now comes down from Yetzirah into Asiyah, a ray of a ray of a ray. So it's really pretty tangential, the amount of godliness that comes into this world. It's in every single creature, though. Every organism, right down to rocks, have this bit of godliness within them. It says you have the seas and all that is in them, and you enliven all of them. And the Alter Rebbe focused on this when we did Shari Yechad V'amuna. Va'ata means Aleph to Tuf and the five articulates, which are the expression of the five Gevuras. Mm-hmm. Meaning that even the lowest life form in existence gets its Chayas, receives its Elokus from, directly, from the infiniteness of Hashem. Okay, by that time we call it the mouth of Hashem, and the speech of Hashem, and it's an external expression of Hashem. But I got news for you. When you talk, who's talking? You're talking. And it's, what are you expressing? You're expressing you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I can hear what you're saying. You're letting me know what's going on inside you. But it's still you. So okay, so you have a rock. But what is the rock? The rock is an expression of the internal desire for Hashem. Because if Hashem didn't want that rock to be there, guess what? It wouldn't be there. The fact that that rock is there means that it's part of the divine ruts in its highest pristine form. Because if it wouldn't be, Hashem wouldn't have made it that way. It calls us bevachinus yispashtus achayas lahachayosim. And this godliness now, this infiniteness, now comes down as a defulsion. It just really spreads out. This word, mispashet, means to really be diluted. Such that, by the time it gets down here, I mean, you don't have to come down here. You have angels, malachim. They recognize that they exist as separate entities. They're saying, I exist. Okay, they see that they see their chayas, they see their neshama as well. But they see their own limitations. That's why we don't get excited about angels. What's an angel? Big deal. In actuality, if we're going to say that the godliness that's enclosed in this world really is maintaining its integrity, then the essence of this infinite light of Hashem actually never gets limited by the world. Mm-hmm. It maintains, because how can something infinite be limited by something finite? So therefore, what do we say? What's happening over here? This godliness is called Sovev Kol Olmim. And it means with Sovev Kol Olmim is B'Shaves HaShemayim V'Haaretz Ani Mali. It says equally, Hashem, the heavens and the earth, I fill the Hishava Achas with one equanimity. Meaning, now, the Alter Rebbe said many times that the word Sovev, even though it's been translated as encompassing, and I believe that's how he translates it over here too, as encompassing, encircling, encompassing. And I don't think he changed it in the new editions. So this encircling, it's a bad translation. It's a very wrong translation, actually, too. Because what's going to happen if you say you got an Ora Mamali and Ora Sovev? You're going to translate it as light that fills and light that surrounds. So here he is, you're thinking that inside...
Radiation. They use radiation.
Okay, so that's the translation of the word light. Yeah. That's Or, they call it radiation. Okay, so that's good. So now we're thinking microwaves. You're totally surrounded by microwaves.
Still.
Yeah, so, like, forget about it. That's not it at all. The word sovev does not mean encompassing. Rather, we said a bunch of times already, the sovev kolomi means, it just means that the godliness can't be revealed. It's beyond revelation. And a person shouldn't think when we say oris and kalim, you shouldn't think of pots of water. That's not oris or kalim. So when it says soviv and mamali, you shouldn't think of jelly donuts surrounded in powdered sugar. Okay. That also not. Okay, you got the jelly on the inside, you got the sugar on the outside surrounding it. Yeah, okay, good. No, forget about it.
Not for long.
No. So the when he says encompassing, it's encompassing light means that it's where is it? It's right here. It's in it, in whatever the organism is. But it's a godliness which is too great to be appreciated cognitively by that organism, because it's an expression of divine will. the rutzain, that this the specific rutzain, the specific desire that this organism should exist, is its sovev, meaning every detail of the creation is by divine design. Hashem wants it, and it therefore has a direct correlation with the overall desire of the entire creation. And this detail is an integral part of the entire design of creation. So you can think of it as just a small detail, but I think we said last week, the week before. Do you know how big an aircraft carrier is? An aircraft carrier is 3 football fields long and 10 stories high and holds 5,000 people. They are floating cities. They have stores and shops and services. You can get a haircut. You can get your suit tailored. You can get dry cleaning. You know, they have restaurants on these places. They have all kinds of things they have on these. There may even be a hotel. Who knows? I've never been on one. Let me ask you a question. Which rivet on that boat is superfluous?
Not a one.
Not one. Okay? And if you knew that there's a rivet missing from that boat, would you get on that boat?
Sure,
what? What's a few rivets? No. If they didn't need the rivet, they wouldn't have put it there to begin with.
That's true, but I'm saying
it's going to weaken the entire structure of the boat. It's going to weaken the entire structure of the boat. That it will do. Because if it didn't need it, they wouldn't have put it there. They have all these engineers and people that are working on a thing, exactly what they have to do. Because if you can imagine, if they could save themselves a couple hundred thousand rivets, that's money now.
They want to do secondary and the tertiary.
So it's also every single detail. That rock that's sitting on the ground, it's an integral part of the creation. And if that rock is not there, then this is not the creation that God wants. Mm-hmm. So that desire for that thing to be there, is that why God created the world? No. The reason why God created the world is not so that rock could sit there. But in order for the creation to be the creation that Hashem wants, that rock has to be sitting there. So that detail of Hashem's desire is totally, completely part of the whole entire desire for the creation. The lace aser panim enei, and there's no place void of Hashem. The afbar is elazu hagashmi, is even this physical world. There's no place void of Hashem. Tell me where Hashem is not.
Excuse me. Back to the idea of like a ray, and you get down to all these different levels where you still have a pencil. Like, what about the neshama? The neshama is for sure limited.
By the body, but most of your neshama is not in your body.
In the body, okay.
Excuse me. And the neshama that's in your body still maintains its infinite quality.
Yeah.
Quantity, you would say not, but it still maintains its infinite quality.
Okay.
Even though it's only from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. But there's a whole infinity in between. Rakshahu b'chinas makiv v'seviv, it only encompasses it, as we said before. Kamosha kasav ha-pirish b'lakuti amarim, as we already talked about in Lakuti Amarim, which is why I know this, because we already did Lakuti Amarim. V'lo hispachshis hislapshis ha-chayas la-achayosim li-hishavosim ayin li-yesh. And this creation, with all of the different descent and the clothing and the enlivenment and the bringing into existence of a something from nothing, is only alidei ha'ara da ha'ara da ha'ara. Is only exists now in this physical world. Is how is it that there is a yesh me'ayin? Is because of this diminution of godliness. Now we talked about the onset of the letter, that the concept of bria yesh me'ayin is the chiddush of the Arizal. He was the one who introduced the concept. Excuse me, to the world. So. The Arizal writes that there are basically 2 major yesh ma'ayans in the process, but to go from any level to the next level, you have to have a yesh ma'ayan would be translated as a quantum leap. Because if you have the godliness, for example, in Malchus of Atzilus, and you cut it in half, so what do you have? You have half of the godliness of Malchus of Atzilus. You don't have Bria. You have to have a quantum leap that Malchus of Atzilus, this is a functional thing going on over here, that Malchus of Atzilus becomes Keser of Bria. So we have over there, as you're talking, and just to confuse the issue, you have Malchus of Atzilus is an expression of Mamali Kolomim. The godliness is enclosed in Mepnimius. And in order for that godliness to convey to the lower levels, that same godliness, which was Mepnimius, which is an inner expression of Elokus, in the world of Atzilus, becomes a Makif, to be a... And only that, the Arizal writes that every Elah is a makif to Alosai. Every cause encompasses the effect. Meaning to say that if you look at an effect, any effect, this is called, diagnostics or forensics. Okay, you look at any effect, something happened. So you see that the events that led up to it being happened, this is a good expression of the word makif, what the word makif means. You push down a domino, the domino is down. Okay, you're pushing the domino is makif to the domino being down. Mm-hmm. Is your pushing surrounding that domino? No, it's not surrounding it.
Because of it influencing it.
It's the reason why it is in the way that it is now is because of the cause that got it that way. So the effect has been affected already. The cause is gone. You pushed it. You pushed it one time. And now you have the effect of a down domino. So your pushing it, the relationship of your pushing it to the down domino, we're going to call that a makif. We're going to call that soviv kolomim, encompassing. So you see the word soviv can't be translated as the word encompassing. It's not surrounding it. It's an affecting it in an outward way, a way which is not expressed by Pnimius, because you still have your finger attached to the end of your hand, and the energy which was came from your finger to that domino is now already dissipated. So it's what happened, and at that point you could say that the makif was enclosed; it was able to manifest itself into in a Pnimius dick away. I know it gets kind of complicated, this business. Okay, but the Arizal, that's in every level there's a yesh ma'ayin, because you can't get from here to there without a quantum leap, because if you're on a certain level, you're cutting it in half, you just have the same level again, because we're talking levels of infinity. Mm-hmm. And whenever you, if you're on this level of infinity, you cut it in half, well, you've got the same level of infinity. But the Arizal writes that the major infinities you have are from before, which was called Tzimtzum Arishon, where there is now a concealment of Hashem's infiniteness and a revelation of Hashem's finiteness. That's called Yesh Ma'ayin, that suddenly we have finiteness. But the Arizal writes, Ein Bri Yesh Ma'ayin Gadol Me'olam Hazeh Hagashmi. The greatest expression of something to nothing is the creation of the physical world, because it's a whole different system. When you're talking Atzilus down to Malchus of Asiya, it's all relatable. It's all Ruchnius. But to go from Ruchnius to Gashmius, you can't build a bridge to Malchus of Asiya. The lowest level in creation that's creating us. There is no way to get there from here. Because it's a Bria Yesh Ma'ayin. There was a quantum leap. This physical world is no way comparable in any way, shape, or form. Not in Echas, not in Kamas, not in quality. To the source that is directly involved with enlivening it. To such an extent that you could have a person say, there's no such thing even. People don't feel that they're being enlivened by the godliness coming through Malchus of Asiya. Maybe present company accepted, but I never felt it. Okay, because it is a Yesh Ma'ayin. What does that mean? It's a something coming from nothing. Scientists have really big problems with the concept of nothing. There's no such thing as nothing in science.
Yeah.
Which is why all those mathematicians have been racking their brains now for 15 years to figure out the paradigm at the big time of the Big Bang. And they're getting really close, but, you know, it's really frustrating because what they're able to do is they're able to cut it down by another power of 10. Okay, they go from 5 seconds to 5 milliseconds to 5 picoseconds. And for some reason, it's always in 5. But I think they're at whatever the next number down after 5 pica is. What's the next size smaller than a pica? Let's say half a pica. I don't know.
Pica, it's almost like it technically is measurable, but it's almost nothing.
5 trillionths of a second? Yeah, I would say that's pretty quick. You know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So that's not even subliminal. So, but they're down to like 5 quadrillionths of a second now. At this point. Why? Because it can't get to nothing, because there's no such thing as nothing in the physical world. So just keep on getting smaller and smaller and smaller until they get to 5 × 4⁻², which would be the smallest they could go. Okay, that's 5 quantum seconds. You know, so because we can't relate to it, we can't get there from here. They'll never be able to mathematically figure out the paradigm of the Big Bang. Sorry. Not going to happen. And for sure not what was before the Big Bang. Where are we? And how is that it comes now through the godliness, comes through this creation of a something from nothing, is as a ray from the Kav, as we said before. The Gamarin Sef Asovi Vamakiv La Arba Ulus Abi Abishava Meir Al Hakav Apnimi Dera Hakam Li Yasiris Da Abi. And this encompassing light, meaning the divine desire that this world exists with all of the details, exists equally. Because it's your truth, that rock that's sitting on the ground exists exactly the same much as, that's not even English, as Chochma Vatzilus. What do I mean, exist? Exist means it's there. That's all the word exists means. You can say, but a rock is this and a Chochma Vatzilus is that. Okay, fine, that's how they're enlivened. But how they exist is all exactly the same. The whole entire spectrum of creation exists for Hashem as one equal unit. The whole thing, every detail, it's just one thing. And this godliness now shines through the Kelim. And that then gives the 10 spheres of Atzilus, because you have this limited amount of godliness enclosed in them, the ability to create, especially specifically Malchus, the ability to create the lower spheres as they are in the world of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Because it comes through, you have to, the word keli means something which has a function. In Gemara, that's what the word keli means. It doesn't in the beginning of Tanya where he talks about keli. So there he uses the translation vessels. Okay, a vessel is a type of a keli, but a hammer is a keli, a ladder is a keli, a rug is a keli, a board is a keli. The word keli means something that has a use. All these things have use, as opposed to, say, a rock, which is just there. Even because I could use a rock for something, but you didn't do anything to the rock to make it anything. It's just that's the way it is. Okay? A tree branch is not a keli.
a board is a keli because you got to make it into a keli. You have to make it into that. Okay. Because something that was made into it, that's, you know, that's a keli. So it has to be that way because in this instance we're going to say that the kelim of Atzilus are Hashem's tools. As we said, the pasuk, which is well known, kulum b'chachma sisa, Hashem made everything with wisdom. Which the pshat of that pasuk, we've been saying this since Perek Beis and Tanya, the pshat in pasuk is that Hashem had a great plan. The author of it explains kulum b'chachma sisa, that you made everything with wisdom, that the tool that Hashem used to make the creation was chachma. Specifically, in how we're defining chachma. So, since it is that we're talking about this expression of ihu v'chayeuchad, ihu v'chad garmeuchad, the Ramak Moshe Cordovero explains that what's chachma v'tzilus is, when is it functional, is when you have the ur mislabish in the keli, when you have the full functioning keli, a full functioning usable tool, not like that light bulb. Which I've been meaning to get changed for like 3 weeks already. Well, the Zeis Haimen Evroim of Bohinus Reboy, his Chalkus of Vul, the Tachos of a Pradali, the Oisius Canal. And what happens now is because the tools which are being used, even Chachma of Atzilus is limited. It's okay, the Sefer Abari says, Eser Spheres Bli Mash Ein Lahem Moz. That the 10 spheres of Atzilus have no substance, and they're infinite, but there's 10 of them. So even Chachma has its limitations. Chachma, the highest sphere of an Aseder Yisdalshus, it's not Bina. It's not Das, it's not Chesed, Gvura, Teferis, etc. It's only Chachma. Okay, it's infinite Chachma, fine. But it still has its own limitations. And because it is limited in its very specific manner, so now it becomes usable. And it is able to be, its function can now be put into making the creation of this physical world. As the Rebbe talks about in the first maimer that the Rebbe said, quoting a Zohar, that this is the purpose, this world is the purpose of creation, because all those other worlds that we talk about are a yerida for Hashem. It's an embarrassment to say that Hashem created the world for Atzilus, that's pitiful. Because what's in Atzilus? It's just godliness. Hashem did that for that. What did he need that for? No. Hashem created made a creation for this physical world, which is l'chayra, void of godliness, that we can, humankind, and primarily the Jews, can introduce godliness into the world, to make the world a better place, so that Hashem can say, okay, I can now express myself in this physical world. And ultimately, when Mashiach comes, and we got Trias HaMesim and all that other stuff that's going on over there, so then we will see that the three-dimensional world, how it does actually convey the infiniteness of Hashem. Right now, we can't see it, we don't have permission. Mashiach is going to come. It says, you know, the Rebbe used to say that you're not going to need to turn on the television to know and to watch the news to see that Mashiach came. You know, even the Rebbe said this in 1964, when they did the first satellite transmission, a live satellite transmission from the Sydney Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe commented, it's a very interesting thing that you have a people standing, they have these televisions on Fifth Avenue in like Macy's. Yeah. And they had the thing on. People were standing around watching. It says you have a person standing on the street in Manhattan, and he's watching what's going on the other side of the world, mamish. Okay, he said, Mashiach Zeiten. But then, don't think you're going to have to turn on the television to find that Mashiach came today. You're not going to, he says, it's an example, it's a dogma. How something going on in Sydney, Australia, and people could know about it here in New York right instantaneously. That was 1964. Now it's even less than instantaneous, you know, when something happens. Okay, so, because how are we going to know that Mashiach came? Is because you're going to open your eyes, and you're going to see all this infinite godliness just abounding in everything. And it's not, if that were to happen right now, you wouldn't see anything except infinite godliness. Everything else would fall out of existence. The whole entire world would lose its existence. You'd be in the world of Atzilus. Mashiach comes, you're still going to be sitting on a chair, at a table, with a book. But all of those things are going to convey the infiniteness of Hashem.
Excuse me, what about the Rambam Shita? It's a little bit different.
What, that the people are going to divest themselves of the bodies? The Alter Rebbe doesn't paskin like Rambam. Alter Rebbe paskin is like the Ramban.
So the Ramban, excuse me.
The Rambam says that the Tchiyas HaMeisim is followed by the souls leaving the body.
I'm talking about before that. I'm talking about times of Mashiach.
Yemais Mashiach is before Tchiyas HaMeisim.
Yes, I'm saying in terms of, you said about like Mashiach will be here, like we'll see like the infinite, like.
Okay, that's talking. No, we're talking about that. It's when Mashiach. It's not Yemais Mashiach. It's what by Tchiyas HaMeisim.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. But to that end, the Rambam basically says that that it's nothing is really going to change so much other than people are going to have the
that's in
the
ain't that's a Gemara that says ain bein el mazel Yemais Mashiach. Okay, that's when Mashiach first comes, when the resurrection hasn't yet happened, and you don't have a Beis HaMikdash yet, and you know, so you have wars going on, all kinds of stuff, all on, you know, that stuff. V'oizeis, last line, on 262. We're actually going to turn the page today. Wow. V'oizeis, yeser al kain, even more so, and furthermore, yeser kain al kol hanal, more than what we said before. Ha'ara da ha'ara da ha'ara, v'kol hanal. This ray of a ray of a ray and everything that we spoke about till now, who Mare Kechav Yechalta be Yisoid HaAfar HaGashmi Begile Otzim BeYasser Ois Me Yisoid Yisal Yainim Mimano. If you want to see where the infiniteness of Hashem is really expressed, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, one of the earlier letters in chapter 19, he actually talks about this idea. Where can you really see the infinite power of Hashem is in dirt. Because dirt, as you remember, we talked about this not that long ago. Mm-hmm. I think it's in letter 19. Because how many possible things can grow in dirt?
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. Even those things that don't grow in dirt could still grow in dirt. Like mushrooms and things like that. Lichens. Okay. So because, and why is that? What happens, we explained before, that when you put a seed into the ground, what you are doing is channeling the power of growth so that it specifically is limited to growing that radish that you planted rather than a Brussels sprout. So the purpose of the seed, because right now, so the medieval scientists or medieval Kabbalists wanted to say, you see the infinite power of growth because you see how many weeds are in a field that's not planted. But that's a bad example. It's like not understanding it. They believed in spontaneous generation because this also came from seeds. The
bulb.
Yeah, the infiniteness of
the bulb and the plant, the seeds that don't get destroyed, it's covered in the Gemara, the bulbs keep their tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So like the idea was a tumor in a seed would dissipate because it does, but bulb can regenerate.
Yeah.
They don't know when it stops because it retains its spiritual
form.
Property.
Yeah. So you see that if you look at anything higher than that, dirt is the lowest thing. Okay, it's the only thing. You can't grow things. You could kind of grow things in water, but you have to have lots of minerals in the water in order for to get it to grow. Okay, you can't really grow things on air. That doesn't work. And even those chia pet things, no. And for sure to grow anything on fire, nothing grows on fire. And when you start getting up into like the next world, there's nothing growing in Yetzirah. Angels don't farm. Nope, they just sing.
Yep.
And said also, from the heavenly hosts, they do not have the ability or the strength to bring out something from a nothing constantly, like dirt does, which is constantly growing, all the different grasses and trees. And it says, okay, so you have to say that there has to be a Seder Hisalshus for that to happen. Dirt just doesn't happen by itself. Hashem had to make the dirt. And for Hashem had to make the dirt, well, it says, for example, V'hamazal ha'makav ha'omer gedil. It says that in the, I think it's a Gemara, that in every blade of grass has a mazel that smacks it and tells it to grow. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? That doesn't mean that there's this like little winged creature hovering over every blade of grass, just like beating on it, you know, hey, grow. You know, if you could see these things, you'd see all these little, like, you know, honeybees or something, little you know, fireflies or something, just tinkerbells.
Little will-o-wisps.
Yeah, just like, you know,
a microscopic level of blade grass is an amazing thing.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so this is, how does it happen? This is, so if you say that the system of angels, as we call them angels, is a system of pipes, actually, for godliness to flow down, so you have from the 10 spheres, you come down to the Malachi Asharis, so there you have like some kind of like a big main, where it comes down into a smaller pipe, and from there it goes down to the next world. It has to go through a smaller type of a main. So instead of a 48-inch main, it goes into a 12-inch main, and then it goes into a smaller pipe, and then finally it goes into a very teeny tiny pipe, so that it comes out, for example, out of your faucet. Okay, so this is the same type of a thing. So you have the godliness coming down in smaller and smaller pipes until you get this like little pipette type pipe, which is called a mazel, which is directly in charge, which is appointed with one specific task of nurturing that blade of grass. That mazel, what we call that mazel, mazel is a form of an angel, a very low form of an angel, is directly in charge of the minimal amount of godliness that goes down to that blade of grass. But that's only once the grass is growing already. It doesn't say anything about, it's not telling it to grow, it's telling it to get bigger.
Right. We're not talking about the actual...
The actual beginning, the germination is got nothing to do with mazoilus. What it has to do is with the power of growth that Hashem put into the dirt. We just said, Aval terem yatzmiach, lemi yaymer kol mazel lemazel, kol eisav eisav prati pratius. Before it's growing, what's a mazel going to do? The mazel's there to tell it, hey, you, grass, grow. There's no grass there, it hasn't grown yet. So the process of this whole Seder Histalshus and affecting this blade of grass is once there has been the Bria Yesh Ma'ayin. Because for all intents and purposes, it says in Chassidus in many places, the closest example we have of Bria Yesh Ma'ayin is the germination of a seed. Because what happens, you stick the seed in the ground, the seed rots. And pretty much is entirely and completely decomposed. And what you're left with is a little germ inside the seed. The rest of the seed is used for nutrients to sustain the little germ thing as it's going through its first thing until, I guess, the little mazels come and start smacking on it. Okay, so for all intents and purposes, if you know what the size, for example, of a piece of wheat germ, that it's impossible to envision that from that piece of wheat germ will grow a stalk of many feet high with many thousands of wheat berries that all have little pieces of germ inside of them. So that's the closest thing that we have to Bria Yesh Ma'ayin, because the seed had to become an ayin, almost, in order to create this yesh. That the power of growth which is in the dirt is spiritual. The heim gashmiim, and these seeds are physical. The ainzis ella mashum de gal de ragli de achmas taimis de tachtea de asiya tachas ragli marin se baruchu hasevim kolomim beli hefsik rab b'neiam. And he's giving you now, the reason why this works is because of the following GPS coordinates which you can put into your Kabbalah map. That this whole business, the ability to create growth, comes from what's referred to as the Ragli of Ak. Ak, we say, is the first manifestation after the first Tzimtzum. It's where the infiniteness meets the finiteness. And the Ragli de Ak is Nehim, Netzach Hod Yesod in Malchus of Ak. You remember, we call Ak, Adam Kadma, primordial man, it's the zygote of the creation, so the very lower part of that. And that relates then to the very bottom of the physical world. Because what's its whole purpose? Why is there an Ak? That sounds like the beginning of a joke. You know, why is there an Ak? Why is there an Ak is for an Olam Hazeh HaGashmi. The whole purpose why there's a Tzimtzum HaRishon is for the final creation, which is this one. There's no separation whatsoever. What remains there is this encompassing light, I hate using the word, but it's the best I got, of the word of the realm of Ak, of primordial creation. Is getting to be on a new subject. It's going to take me a longer time. I wanted to get up to the Vesifun. You have a couple minutes? We can get down to the Vesifun?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, Michael? Got a couple minutes? Vesifun is right here. We're here. It's like five lines. I'm not saying this couldn't take me an hour to explain this, but we're going to try. The kav, which was originally an emanation from the light of the infiniteness before Tzimtzum. Or Ein Sof is rooted before Tzimtzum. And its infiniteness ends when it gets to Ak, because what's Ak? Ak is the unification of the infiniteness of Hashem with the finiteness of Hashem. So what do you have? You have finiteness. You have an infinite finiteness, but you have a finiteness. So once you have this finiteness, that's as far as infinity can go. Anything after that is not really truly infinite. You could call it comparably infinite. And there it gives a greater impression, which is called Orchoizer. Orchoizer is badly translated as the returning light. Okay, is that how he translates it?
Just as
Orchoizer. Doesn't even bother. Because Orchoizer says...
It says in the parish.
The returning... Reflective. Okay, because the reflective light is very bad. Because reflective light is not as strong as the original light. Okay, the moon is reflective light. The moon reflects the sun, right? So the moon is definitely not as bright as the sun. So there's a diminution when you're reflecting. Or Chozer is stronger than the Or Yosher. Now how is that going to be? Well, a not so great example of what Oiz or Choizer means is you have a whole bunch of streams, okay, and these streams are kind of lazily meandering along through the countryside, and they meet up at a certain very specific place, all these streams, and there's only just so much area for this water to go through. What do you have now? Now you have a raging river because of all these streams that are coming into it, and it's all being contained. So there, that's referred to as Orchoizer, that the current which is built up from all of this stuff coming to it is stronger than the original stream itself. I say it's a bad example. Okay?
I learned with a physicist who likes the example of a step-down transformer as being Orchizer, because when the electricity goes through the transformer, so you're decreasing the volts, but you're increasing the current. That's why, even though it's only 110 volts coming out of that socket, it could still kill you, because the current is greater. Okay, so that it means that that current, and the current is what you need to run your things that you're running on electricity. So that's the idea of Orchizer. As he says that in all those higher levels, Keser, Chochman Bina, the Midas, they all receive vitality from the light of Malchus, which is elevated from it, going back. That's the Orchizer. Because Malchus acts as Keser. Keser is the desire that there be that thing. So the godliness is not just a one-way street. It's not godliness just coming down. The world doesn't work like that. Everything's in a state of back and forth. We call that Ratzav Eshuv. And the godliness is coming down is also going back up. And when the accomplishments, when it goes back up, it now has a big advantage because it's now fulfilled its purpose. When it's coming down, it's only just a kinetic energy. It's potential, excuse me. When it's now going back up, it's been actualized already. And actual is much greater than potential. Okay? So, this is where we're going to stop. We got up into the middle of the page. Noyes Tchilasim V'Seifam on page Kuf Lamed Beis. We're starting with Kachahu B'Siyam HaKav. Next time, to be continued.